Well, there's no question about it. The Federal Reserve has a tremendous challenge ahead of it. And we don't know yet how it's going to turn out. What we do know is that if you look back through the history of the Federal Reserve and their attempts to move from monetary accommodation to policy normalization, policy equilibrium, if you will, they've had a lot of trouble in the past completing that task. In fact, it's probably been the most difficult task that the Federal Reserve has had to deal with over time. That is, moving from accommodative monetary policy, which we've had for many years, to a normalized equilibrium policy. Very, very difficult for the Federal Reserve to do this. One of the terms used in the canyons of Wall Street to describe this exercise is managing a soft landing. If you've ever heard that expression in the context of monetary policy, that's what it refers to. Successfully navigating the monetary waters to a soft landing without overshooting the run rate, without doing too much, and thereby throwing the economy out of whack and potentially into recession. This is what the Federal Reserve has had to deal with for many, many decades, and they have to deal with it again now because we have an economy that has been expanding for many, many years, going all the way back to the turnaround in the economy in 2009. I mean, we're already in one of the longest-lasting economic recoveries of all time. I mean, look at these numbers we have seen in terms of first-time unemployment claims. I mean, we've gone 3 years now, plus, 3 years plus, with basically record-low unemployment claims figures. I mean, it's been amazing. So this economy has been expanding for many, many years, and it continues to expand. And the Federal Reserve realizes now that the highly accommodative monetary policy that they promoted for so many years is less necessary now because economic growth reaches a point which is described in the canyons of Wall Street by the economic mucky-mucks as escape velocity. This is a term that the mucky-mucks throw amongst themselves, escape velocity. And when they use that term, they're talking about the economy being able to grow on its own in a granular fashion without having the Federal Reserve whipping it and driving it with low interest rates and highly accommodative monetary policy and financial liquidity. And so the prevailing wisdom in the economic community is that the economy has already achieved escape velocity. This is particularly evident if you look at the unemployment numbers. An unemployment rate of 4%, which is what it is right now, is extremely low if you go through historical analysis. It is even beyond what the Federal Reserve historically defines as full employment. I mean, 4.5% would be plenty good to fulfill any Federal Reserve historical definition of full employment. We're through that. We're at 4%. And what that means is you get to a point where qualified workers are hard to find. We're there right now. Right now, we have more job listings than qualified applicants. We are short of qualified applicants for all of the jobs that are out there. Now, you know that the government has a dreadful historical record of training citizens to take jobs, training citizens to get them to the level they can qualify for available jobs. The government record on this is pretty dismal. So there's not a whole lot of hope that that is suddenly going to be solved overnight. So we have more jobs available than qualified applicants for the jobs. We have an unemployment rate that's already through the 4.5% full employment threshold down to 4%. We have a tight labor market, and we have evidence of that tight labor market in hand. And I'm talking about concrete evidence of a tight labor market, because one of the things that we watch very, very close when we're talking about the tightness of the labor market is a series known as the Job Opening and Labor Turnover Survey. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. The acronym is JOLTS, J-O-L-T-S, the Job Opening and Labor Turnover Survey. And this is one of the many, many areas of study that contributes to knowledge on this subject. And it's quite interesting because the quit rate, which is very important when analyzing the health of the jobs market, the quit rate jumped 6.3% in the latest report and now stands at an all-time historic high of 3,561,000. Now, what does the quit rate tell you in terms of behavior, worker behavior? It tells you, plain as day, that there is a very high level of worker confidence in the ability to get a better job. Obviously, these are qualified workers that are doing this. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. You wouldn't quit your job to apply for a job you're not qualified to get, knowing you're not going to get it. You would quit your job if you had a strong confidence that you had the ability to qualify for a better job. So, this is going on right now. This is in the data right now. And not only that, we are now looking at a record number of unemployed per job opening of slightly more than 0.9. It's 0.914. Think about it. That's what I talked about earlier. Less qualified humans available than job openings, because people don't qualify. So the labor market is not only tight, it's continuing to get tighter. And by the way, this is 3 months in a row now that the number of job openings has exceeded the qualified unemployed. 3 months in a row. This is unprecedented in American history. That's how tight the labor market is getting. So, we keep an eye on the year-over-year wage figure. Remember earlier this year in the first quarter, it was considered one of the major catalysts for stock market correction activity earlier this year, because the number ballooned in one particular month. And
now Batman strikes in Stockton, a man acting as
a short period
civilian
of time
superhero is
over
out
this figure. Later it calmed down a little bit, but it was a big-time catalyst earlier this year in the first quarter. So we keep an eye on JOLTS, the Job Opening and Labor Turnover Survey, because it tells us what is going on out there in terms of worker confidence, the willingness to quit a job to find a better job for qualified workers, of course. We watch this very, very closely because it gives us a reading, a valuable reading on worker behavior. We have a tight labor market. By the way, the Federal Reserve is fully aware that we have a tight labor market. They're watching it because one of the triggers for monetary policy action, such as raising rates, is inflation. We already see inflation figures higher than we'd like to see them. The year-over-year headline consumer price index number is 2.9. That's higher already than we'd like to see. We also see the personal consumption expenditure figures getting up into the 2% to 2.3 range, using the core and then the headline number respectively, which means that they have either fulfilled, well, if you use the core rate, it has fulfilled the Fed objective of getting that core number up to 2%. So they're watching all of this at the Federal Reserve. And at the same time, they're in this rate-raising posture, which started in the month of December 2015, has already seen 7 rate hikes with more to come. And the reason that this is particularly interesting, if we want to put a smiley face on it, is because they're also doing quantitative tightening. That is, they are taking money off the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, the money they piled up when they bought all of those quantitative easing securities. And they are on a maturity basis for now. They're taking these things and putting them back into the open market, where open market buyers have to absorb them at whatever interest rate they're willing to accept. This is called supply. We also have increased supply because of the runaway deficit, which is headed back to a trillion plus. This year alone is expected to exceed $800 billion. Forget about the good times. Forget about the growing economy. Nobody in Washington's paying any attention to the budget deficit anymore. It's kind of become a topic you can't talk about in Washington. It's kind of a third rail now. So, look at that. You have to fund all of the deficit. You have to redistribute all of these securities coming off because of quantitative tightening. This stuff is real. There is no history for a combined program of raising rates and quantitative tightening. Never happened. How far along are we on quantitative tightening? Very early. Probably first inning would describe it. We have to do in the trillions. We're only moving toward a billion, which is dropping a bucket.